The question today is, what did the Holy Spirit do in our Lord's life? This is the second part of this question. We dealt with the first part. We said the Holy Spirit was involved in our Lord's life as in His conception, because Mary conceived by the Holy Ghost. Then Simeon, when he was dedicated by his parents, had the power of God upon the Holy Spirit upon Simeon, who pronounced the prophecy, the fact that he'd be a light to the Gentiles. And then at his baptism, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and John the Baptist bare record that this was the Son of God. And then we find him in the temptation. There when he was tempted by the devil and overcame by the word, by saying it is written, by using the word of God, the Spirit led him there into that temptation. And yet he returned in the power of the Spirit and began his ministry after that point in time. And he quoted, in fact, he quoted Isaiah, where Luke said that the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. Jesus himself said that in the synagogue. But then we find also that when Jesus sent out the 12, he sent them out with assurance that the Spirit would tell them what to say in tough times. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 through 20 says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how that ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." And then Luke chapter 12, verse 12 said, "For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say." So when the Lord sent out the 12, he sent them out and telling them that the Spirit would take care of them in tough times. The Spirit of God would do that. And that's involved in the life and the ministry of our Lord. But then also Jesus cast out devils by the Spirit. He didn't do them in his own power. He cast them out by the Spirit. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 22 through 28, he said, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God," and he did, "then the kingdom of God is come unto you." So therefore he made it clear that he wasn't Beelzebub, of course. And by the way, these people had said that they... more or less, they came to the point, Jesus said right after, that if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, there's no hope for you. Now, I don't know whether these men in Matthew 12 did that or not, but they were close to doing it. Well, what is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? It is giving credit to the devil for something the Holy Spirit produces in His presence with your heart. And so, therefore, Jesus cast out the devils there, that spirit there that day. He was blind and dumb with the devil. And he both healed him, and so much that he's blind and dumb, both spake and saw. No halfways with God. The Lord, he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, every miracle he ever did, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in John chapter 5, verse number 30, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." And then Peter, we find, as an example of that, preaching on the day, preaching to Cornelius. Now, Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 was a lost man, but he prayed, and God heard his prayer and answered it, and told him what to do. "Go get a human instrument, Peter, to come tell you the truth of the gospel so that you might be saved." That's why a man can't be saved by track alone. He's got to hear the preaching of the Word of God, either one-on-one or in a formal situation. But Peter came and preached to Cornelius in Acts 10:38. He made this statement. Not only he preached the gospel, but he said he's trying to described Jesus to him, the Jesus of Nazareth, and he said how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with him, yes. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And he did everything that he did, every miracle he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the business, he even went to the cross through the Spirit. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 11 through 14, but Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he was God incarnate, robed in flesh to a virgin womb. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And of course, that's verse 14 of John 1. And Jesus was God incarnate, and yet he still did what he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. That was God's way. That was God's plan. And so therefore he went to the cross through the Spirit. Let me say right here, there's some people today who believe the Gnostics, I believe is what we call them, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. But they believe that Jesus was not God until the baptism and when the Holy Spirit came up on him. And then he was God as he walked upon this earth performing miracles. But when he went to the cross, some say that God left him. And therefore, we have a mere Jesus who was born, and a mere Jesus who died, a mere man who died on the cross. When therefore, we don't have a Savior, we don't have a Lord, we're in trouble if that be the case. That's not the case, folks. Jesus was born, conceived of the Holy Ghost, and lived and obeyed by the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Ghost came upon him at his ministry, and everything he did throughout his ministry was by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he even went through the cross there, as he said in Hebrews 9:14, that he who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God may purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, he was man and suffered all the humanity part, because in his human flesh he took our place. But by a miracle of God, he paid our sin debt. And the Holy Spirit never left him in a sense at all those times. He was able to endure all that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, even though he took our place and paid our hell for it, I want to tell you, our God didn't turn his back up on him. He put him on the cross. Jesus died to satisfy a holy God. But he did it through the Spirit. The eternal Spirit offered himself without spot. In other words, through that Spirit, he offered himself to God. And therefore, we can be purged from dead works to serve the living God. We're talking about the question today is, what did the Holy Spirit do in our Lord's life? Well, after he went to the cross, he arose by the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:18, he said, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, even the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And he was quickened by the Spirit. There's no doubt about that there, even though 1 Peter 3:18 could be interpreted that he went, in other words, he later said he went in his own spirit into the paradise and preached to the spirits in prison. But he was quickened by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, we need to realize that Jesus... what did the Holy Spirit do in our Lord's life? I'll tell you, he did it all in one sense, and yet our Lord was God. But we find him in his conception. And that, in other words, Gabriel announced that Mary would conceive by the Holy Ghost. And then when he was dedicated, Simeon said he was looking for the one the Holy Ghost said would come and be a light to the Gentiles. And at his baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him and He never left him, if you please. He was always God, but God's part never left him. in that sense, but he led him into temptation. Where did he pay a, where he could realize and fulfill the part of the high priest, as he said in Hebrews chapter 4, how that we he understands us because he was tempted in every point as you and I, yet without sin. Thank the Lord he qualified as our sin bearer. And after the temptation, he returned in the power of the Spirit, sent out the 12 with the power of the Spirit that would even tell them what to do in tough times. And then he cast out devils by the Spirit, and every miracle that he performed was done by the power of the Spirit, even going to the cross through the Spirit and rising by the Spirit. And folks, I want to tell you, that Holy Spirit that's upon him and helped him and did all those things, enabled him during those times, I want to tell you, it will not brag about himself. Now, these people who are always bragging about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, they probably got a ghost, all right, but it's not a holy one. Because if you've got the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, you will know what the Bible says about it. John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He'll guide you into all truth. Jesus is saying this, by the way. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He'll show you things to come. He'll talk about the Lord Jesus. He'll point you to the Lord Jesus. He'll not cause you to brag about speaking in tongues or look what you've done or some gift that you might have that God's graced you with. He'll not do that. He'll point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him is life. The Bible said in 1 John 5:12, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Oh, I'm thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how He revealed Himself in Old Testament time. And yet, when Jesus came, He enabled our Lord throughout His ministry to do what He did. And every miracle that He performed, He did in the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we've got an example of that in the Old Testament, of Him the Holy Spirit pointing to Jesus, as we find there Eliezer went to get a bride for Isaac, and when he went over there, he kept telling him about what his master had. Never one time did Eliezer say, "Look what I've got. Look at these trinkets that I've got." No, he pointed Rebekah to Isaac, to his master, if you please. And the Holy Ghost will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not being pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit you have, or the Spirit's dealing with you, you don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will point you to Jesus Christ and will finish in you what needs to be done that you might be saved by the grace of God. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.